Comedy-O-Rama Theater presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, the honest and true memoirs of a non-entity. Episode 2, My Dinner at Baker Street.
You're, of course, aware of the famous 17 steps. Of course you are. At least you should be. Why, anyone with even minimal knowledge of Holmesian lore is, or should be, aware of the 17 steps. The steps which led from the downstairs hall of a rather drab, nondescript red brick house on a rather drab, nondescript street in London. A rather drab, nondescript London. Well, even if you've never read The Ruddy Tripe, I would think you'd be aware of the famous 17 steps. The steps which led to the searching mind and compassionate heart of that selfless Samaritan, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. I am Dr. John Watson, and I wrote The Ruddy Tripe. For those of you who are aware of the 17 steps, you may be interested to note they never existed. I lied. There are only 12. I have a penchant for the overdramatic. Equally, Holmes was not the selfless Samaritan with the searching mind who eagerly squandered his talents to solve a crime. Ruddy tripe. No, Holmes was more the selfish simpleton searching for his mind, who eagerly squandered other people's money. That was his true talent. Hearing the creak of the well-worn steps, of which there are only 12, actually 11 if you don't count the broken one, Holmes' quickened pulse would match that of the troubled visitor upon the stair. Holmes would break into a cold sweat and run out of the room. When the client would enter, asking for his services, Holmes would usually feign illness. Yellow wasn't merely the color of my fool's cap paper. Whenever those 12 steps were trodden, they became 12 steps to disaster. And the story I'm about to relate was no exception. London was in the midst of a heat wave in June of 1888. It was the stifling humidity of that summer which was to be the backdrop of one of the most dangerous confrontations my companion was ever to face. It all began when I received a short telegram from Holmes, who had been on a well-deserved holiday in Sussex following the disastrous Irene Adler affair. If you weren't aware of the famous 17 steps, you certainly wouldn't remember the disastrous Irene Adler affair. Read the book. The strange telegram contained no words, merely a series of numbers. It read 453, 46, 221, 830, 845. It took me all of 5 seconds to deduce its meaning. The 453 was the time Holmes was leaving Sussex Station. The 46 was the number of his train. 221, of course, was our house number. And I do hope you at least knew that. 8:30 was Holmes' arrival time back at Baker Street. And 8:45 was the time at which Holmes was going to have a guest for dinner. I deduced the dinner part from the gravy stain on the telegram next to the number 8:45. I had eaten many a dinner at Baker Street over the years. But this one was quite different. Oh, yes, it is with a certain dread that I recall my dinner at Baker Street. I was sitting in my favorite straw-backed chair next to the open window, fanning myself from the heat with a lantern slide, as Mrs. Hudson climbed the famous less than 17 steps.
Quite a dinner tonight, Dr. Watson. Quite a dinner indeed.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. It was on such short notice.
Well, you'll be getting my bill. Who is it himself is bringing home this time?
I'm not quite sure.
Another one of his queer clients, I suppose.
I haven't the foggiest. Bill?
Or maybe it'll be one of those scurrile strumpets he always feels sorry for.
Bill?
Whoever he'll be, I hope Brisket is to his liking.
You may bill me for this little feast if you like, Mrs. Hudson. Just don't expect payment.
Huh. Well, then, I'll tack it on to your next month's rent.
I wasn't planning on paying that either.
Which reminds me, you still owe this month's rent. Oh, I'm of a mind to be thinking, well, now that you're a famous author and you've published your first novel, you'd at least be able to keep up with your rent. By the way, how is the first novel? A Study in Scarlet, I think you called it. I haven't read it, but there are those who have. No reflection on you, of course, or on those who are of a mind to be reading you. I haven't. I might buy it, though. Not to read, mind you. To use as a fan in this heat. Oh, of course, I truly expected a free copy, autographed, with an inscription, brief but complimentary. Something to the effect of, "To dear faithful Mrs. Hudson, without whom A Study in Scarlet could never have been realized, whose kindness, generosity, and unselfish understanding was the inspiration for this work. A work I solely and with all my heart, mind, and being dedicate to my lovely landlady, with the dainty dimples and the delft blue eyes that glow when the light hits them a certain way. A work which could not have been written had she not given me a roof over my ungrateful head. And so I think it is about time I pay her the rent I owe her."
You're in my book, Mrs. Hudson.
Oh, trying to divert the issue, huh? I am?
You are.
Perhaps I will read your novel, after all.
You can buy one down on the corner. Billy the page boy is selling them. Sixpence apiece.
Well, I'd love to stay and continue this delightful banter. However, I must be bringing up the food.
I'll be bringing it up later.
Oh, this heat! I wish someone would be helping me bring up the dinner. I've made a fine artichoke pudding.
Artichoke?
I would have used plums, but I'm afraid I ran out.
Artichokes?
Now, to get the brisket. Will be to your liking. It's a new recipe. Took me 3 1/4 hours to create.
What are those purple things in the meat?
Plums. That's why I had none left for the pudding. Well, now the vegetables. Tired ankles. Do you know what I have here?
I'm afraid to ask.
Carrots in a mustard and ice cream sauce.
Oh.
Now, to bring up the dessert.
I thought that was the dessert.
Oh.
Mustard and ice cream?
Dessert. Pickled rhubarb on milk, toast.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, forget the sound of it. Wait until you taste it.
My taste buds are on the edge of my tongue.
Well, back down those 17 long steps.
12.
Huh?
There's only 12 steps.
There is. Well, they sure seem like 17. Oh, I sure am wishing I had someone to carry up the tea and biscuits for me.
Home should be home any minute.
That's probably himself right now.
No, the man who walks those 12 steps is club-footed. Listen to this distinct sound of the right foot as compared to the left. That's not Holmes. No, the man who walks those stairs is the most vile villain the world has ever known.
Excuse me, sir. Is this where Master Sherlock Holmes lives, sir?
Why, yes, but you're not... Yes, and I'm his companion, Dr. Watson. Who might you be?
Oh, sir, me, sir? I'm Master Holmes' old mathematics teacher. He invited me to dinner tonight, sir.
You may refrain from calling me sir.
The sir fits, sir.
You may call me Dr. Watson.
Yes, sir.
Vile villain indeed.
Well, I was right about the club foot.
Well, I'll be bringing up the tea and biscuits.
Did you know you have a broken step, Dr. Watson?
Oh! 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 Oh!
I know.
Oh. 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 Did you know you have a broken...
I know.
Hello, everybody. I have returned.
Rather apparent, Holmes.
Watson, did you know we have a broken...
He knows.
Watson, how come every time I enter the room, Mrs. Hudson leaves?
Just lucky, I guess.
Oh, hello, Professor...
Master Holmes! Master Holmes! The worst mathematics student of the class of 1869. It is wonderful to see you.
I thought you were coming back at 8:30, Holmes.
No, that was when the professor was to arrive. Worst student?
I thought he wasn't arriving until 8:45.
No, that was when I was to return. What do you mean I was your worst student?
What about the gravy stain on the telegram?
The gravy stain did mean dinner, you clever Watson, you. Very clever indeed. However, my dear misguided Watson, if you were truly observant, you would have noticed that the stain was next to the 8:30.
This was next to the 8:45.
8:30.
8:45.
Perhaps it was between the two.
That's right, it was. You're quibbling again, Watson. Admit it.
Well, I was right about the dinner.
Yes, and it smells delicious. Oh, did you bring the wine?
Your telegram said bring the wine. I've brought the wine.
Do sit down, Professor.
Thank you, Master Holmes.
Would anyone care for a drink before dinner?
Nothing for me, thank you.
It's so hot. Gin, perhaps.
Nothing, thanks.
You're quite sure?
The fact that I don't want a drink should be obvious, I should think. I mean, no thank you, sir. We can have the wine I brought with dinner, sir.
I can't wait to try it, Professor.
I'll open it now.
And I'll propose the toast.
I've got the wine.
I've got the corkscrew.
I've got a headache.
Oh, remind me to get that off the ceiling later, Watson, old fellow.
Here's two glasses.
Ah.
And, Holmes, here's your favorite mug.
The one with Queen Victoria on it? Oh, goody.
It's the only one he'll drink out of.
A toast to my dear old mathematics teacher who taught me much as a child in Sussex, Professor Moriarty.
Professor Moriarty?
Is
There's something wrong, Dr. Watson.
No. I once knew a Moriarty in India.
Well, Master Holmes, drink your wine.
I don't think you should drink it, dear fellow.
Why not?
Yes, why not, Doctor?
It's gone sour. I can tell from the aroma.
Watson's Notson smells perfectly fine to me.
There's only one way to find out. Drink it, Master Holmes.
All right, I will.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, old chap. I seem to have knocked over your mug. How clumsy of me.
Very clumsy indeed, Doctor. Here, taste mine, Master Holmes.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I mean, there's no picture of Queen Victoria on it.
Taste the wine, Mr. Holmes.
Holmes, don't.
Don't worry, Watson. I won't if it makes you happy.
Stop! This silly game is through.
Were we playing a game, Watson?
I have been found out by you.
Did I win?
You've checked my king. What does that prove? Ha! Now it's time to make my move.
Oh, I see. It's like chess. Would you pass the brisket, please?
Here you are.
Thank you.
Professor Moriarty is my name. To spin a web of evil is my game.
Would you pass the pudding?
Here you are. So, Mr. Holmes, we meet again. When last I saw you, you were tame.
Yes, I remember the last time I saw you. It was the last day of school. You gave me back my final exam in math. You failed me. You weren't a very good teacher. Would you like to go mountain climbing with me sometimes? I know a lovely high rocky cliff, and we can go up there and whistle. Yes, Watson?
Do you know who this is?
Well, of course. He's Professor James Moriarty, my old mathematics teacher.
I am the professor, but I am mean. The most evil man the world has seen.
Would you pass the carrots?
Here you are. I lead an organization full of murder, deceit, and lies, the full extent of which you have not been able to realize. I've read all about you and your exploits, Mr. Holmes, and I won't allow you to stand in my way. You must stand clear, Mr. Holmes.
Exploits?
You must stand clear, Mr. Holmes, or be trodden underfoot.
What exploits? Stand clear of what, Professor?
Don't you understand, Holmes? Professor Moriarty is an evil criminal who's come to do you in.
Do me in?
Kill you.
Kill me? I wasn't that bad a student, was I?
Your wine was poisoned, Holmes.
Poisoned?
You may continue this charade, but I still think it's a facade. You really are a genius super sleuth. No, that doesn't rhyme.
You see, Watson, he does like me.
Oh, do be quiet.
And I aim to wipe you off the face of the earth.
No, this is the best brisket I've ever tasted.
Professor Moriarty, listen to reason. Sherlock Holmes is no more a threat to you and your mighty organization than I am. Look at his face. Is that the face of a genius super sleuth?
It's a trick. He's trying to throw me off guard.
Holmes wouldn't have even known about your criminal activities if you hadn't told him.
Criminal activities? Professor, are you in some sort of trouble?
No, I am not. But you are, friend.
You see, Watson, he does like me.
We shall have a fight to the end.
End?
We will fight with swords. That's what I choose.
But I've never picked up a sword in my life.
You are an expert fencer. You never lose.
This is nonsense. I've never built any fences either.
And you can stop with the act.
It's no act.
Oh, I've read all about you in A Study in Scarlet.
Study in Scarlet?
Swords! To the death!
But I don't have any swords.
Oh?
Well, yes, you do, Holmes.
No, I don't, Watson.
You do?
I don't.
It's the hanging on the wall in your bedchamber.
Of course. I forgot. The King of Bohemia gave me those for stopping Irene Adler from blackmailing him.
But, Holmes, you let her get away.
Well, I had to. I was secretly in love with her.
Enough! Enough already! Bring out the swords and do it soon. And then prepare to meet your doom.
Can't we at least wait until dessert? It's rhubarb on toast. Mmm, delicious.
Well, go on, Holmes. Bring out the swords.
Whose side are you on, Watson? His or mine?
Mine.
Of course, if Mr. Holmes wins, you get to live, Dr. Watson. But if Mr. Holmes loses...
Perhaps swords isn't such a good idea.
Bring out the swords, Mr. Holmes. At least I'm giving you a chance to live.
What are my alternatives?
I have a gun pointing at your heart right now.
I'll get the swords.
And one false move in that bedchamber and your friend and biographer here gets it between the eyes.
So, enjoying your meal?
The brisket was a bit overdone, a bit on the purple side.
Those were the plums.
Here are the... swords, Professor.
Good. Give me a foil.
All I have are these swords.
And please discontinue the booby act. Well, Mr. Holmes?
Well, what, Professor?
Come on, Mr. Holmes, it's time to cross swords.
Am I holding it correctly?
No. Put your forefinger there.
Oh.
That's it. No, turn your wrist the other way.
Oh, like this?
Yeah, feet farther apart. Oh. Right. Extend your arm.
This is fun.
Now, come on, Mr. Holmes. Hey!
Watson! I'm about to be killed! Do something quick!
Yes, old fellow, of course.
Watson, what are you doing?
I'm writing this down. It's quite exciting. Moriarty lunges at Holmes with a force of 10. Holmes ducks the sweeping movement of Moriarty and his foul foil. Moriarty comes at him again. Holmes backs up.
Ouch!
Holmes bumps into a chair.
You should read my monograph on shins and their relation to furniture, Professor.
Perhaps I will sometime.
Moriarty prepares for another chance at a hit. And finally, the evil professor pulls out all the stops and the floodgate of sword play opens up. Oh, the sword is knocked from his hand. He's unprotected. Moriarty corners the unarmed detective, ready to finish him off.
I have waited a lifetime for this moment, Mr. Holmes. Have you anything to say before I kill you?
Yes. Would you care for an after-dinner drink?
The vile villain steps into Mr. Sherlock Holmes and lightly rests the point of his blade on the detective's heart.
You've nearly ruined my career, but I have the last laugh now, because I stand before you here. Like a specter I do loom. And now, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, prepare to meet your doom.
Drop that sword, Moriarty, or I'll shoot.
Brats. Unfoiled again.
Lestrade!
Professor Moriarty, I arrest you in the name of the Queen. All right, Sergeant Frederick, take him away.
Oh, happily. May I use the handcuffs?
Oh. Please do. And be sure to frisk him.
My pleasure. Come along now, you criminal brute, you.
Until next time, Mr. Holmes.
Good night, Professor Moriarty. I hope you enjoyed the dinner.
Well, Mr. Holmes, what a clever man you are.
Now, how do you mean, Lestrade?
Inviting both Moriarty and myself to dinner in your flat, knowing quite well that I was working late and could only make dessert. You're a genius. I truly look up to you.
You mean to tell me, Holmes, you invited Lestrade to dinner too?
Yes, I forgot to tell you. Watson, you stood by and watched me nearly being killed.
Oh, no. I knew Lestrade was right outside the door all along, Holmes. Mm-hmm. I recognized his footsteps coming up the 12 steps.
11. One is broken.
I came up and I was just about to knock when I heard Moriarty's voice.
When was this?
Oh, when you first sat down to dinner.
Well, you certainly took your time coming in. Watson, you broke my Queen Victoria mug.
Again, I must congratulate you on your clever thinking. Planning this whole evening just to trap Professor Moriarty.
Yes, it was rather clever of me to plan the whole thing, wasn't it?
Sheer luck.
What did you say, Watson?
I said Sherlock. You've saved the world from Moriarty's evil doings. Marvelous.
Oh, I agree with Dr. Watson. You're a real hero, you are.
Why, thank you, Inspector Lestrade. I'm quite fond of you, too.
Oh. Would you like to come back to my place for a drink?
All right.
Oh, I have some very interesting police sketches up in my room.
No, really, I'd love to see them.
And so, Professor James Moriarty, the malefic math tutor, was captured at last. No thanks to Holmes. Or me. Unfortunately, Scotland Yard was forced to let him go after some brief questioning. Lestrade had no real evidence of Moriarty's crimes against society. Perhaps if the professor had murdered Holmes, things might have ended up differently. Instead, Moriarty was allowed to walk free. There was one good thing that came out of the evening, though. Sherlock Holmes' meeting with Professor Moriarty made for some excellent reading. Sales have been up in the bookstalls ever since.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of My Dinner at Baker Street, Episode 2 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. As Sherlock Holmes, you heard Vernon Morris. Dr. Watson was played by Henry J. Quinn. Jan Meredith was Mrs. Hudson, William Melillo was Inspector Lestrade, and Professor Moriarty was portrayed by Edward Hyland. Technical production was by Dan Finton, and fight choreography by Ed Easton. My Dinner at Baker Street was written, produced, and directed by Joseph Bevilacqua. This is your announcer, Joe Bev, asking you to tune in again next time for another episode of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. Comedy-O-Rama.
Waterlog Productions.
Comedy-O-Rama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Who else? Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.